B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And again, so we're talking about the money the Patriots spend at the quarterback position, what they want to spend at the position, and what that means for you going forward. And the jumping off point being all these great big names that might be available across the league this year, you know, and whether they end up moving or not, you know, they're sort of in the rumor mill, starting with Aaron Rodgers and now Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. And all, wow. They're just top of the line quarterbacks in their prime. Feels like there's movement there. And would you be in on it? Should you be in on it? And my answer is not if they still believe what quarterbacks should make. There's no chance. When they restructured Tom Brady 9 years ago, they wanted to make sure that he wasn't 13% of the cap. Never mind 20% of the cap. Robert Kraft said it in so many words. He said, again, if we were going to have to pay him, meaning Brady, elite quarterback money and have elite quarterback cap numbers, I just didn't think we would be able to build a team. And I just think that that is such a load of bullcrap. I don't even know where to begin, Maz. Like Tom Brady leaving all that money on the table in 2012. Did that somehow allow the Patriots or change who they were able to keep or let go going forward?
No.
It's now 9 years later, folks. So we know how this played out. And because like this myth is sold to you all the time. And it's on paper, it makes so much sense. And you think it's true because, of course, why wouldn't it be true? Tom Brady takes less so they can pay more to the players around him. It's just sort of logical. It just didn't work out that way because now we know. And we knew immediately, in fact. Tom Brady did that contract extension. In 2012, you know who walked out the door because they didn't want to pay him after that season, that very season? Wes Welker. Tom's boy. Tom's guy. The guy that he relied on the most was up for a contract, and they let him walk out that they didn't want to pay him. The year after Tom Brady left big money on the table so they could do just that. It's like, boy, if that didn't hit him over the head, what would?
And he wasn't the first receiver to have to leave because he wouldn't get paid.
But, I mean, never mind. So we can go back to Deion Branch. Right, exactly. Deion Branch all the way on down the line. But since Tom Brady did that restructure in 2012, did that allow them to pay Wes Welker? No. Did it allow them to pay Chandler Jones? No. Did it allow them to pay Jamie Collins twice? No. Logan Ryan, Pat Chung, Darrell Revis, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Brandon Cooks, Akeem Hicks, Trey Flowers, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins again, twice. How many guys have walked out the door here because of money? A ton. Just like any other team. This is my point. That I don't think that you've had more player defections or less. I think you're right around what most good teams suffer through, which is you win at a high level, your players get overvalued by other teams across the league, and you let them leave in free agency. And that has happened here like it's happened everywhere else. Tom Brady leaving that money on the table did not allow you to keep Wes Welker or Darrell Revis or Jamie Collins or Chandler Jones or, and I'm not telling you that I wanted all these guys or I care about all these guys, but they all left for money. They all left because of money and contracts. So what are we talking about here? What did Brady's give back allow the Patriots to do that they couldn't have done if they'd paid Brady just a little bit more money? Nothing. The answer is nothing. It's a myth. It's a myth. The Patriots, in the last 5 years, going into this year, dead last in the NFL in real cash spending. Dead last. So what that means is, if they had spent more real money, they still would have been under the cap. They had more money to spend. But they didn't spend it. I think now, in hindsight, since we found out Belichick's salaries, I think a lot of that goes to the coach. And there's an internal cap, you know, or Belichick's counted against their football budget. And so what Bill makes hurts what the players make and keeps that player number low. So the Crafts are still spending. It's just a lot of it's going to coaching. Josh makes a good chunk of change too. So I think between that. But either way, Tom Brady, so maybe we can boil it down like this. Tom Brady leaving money on the table didn't allow them to keep players. It allowed them to pay Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And yeah. now I have my answer to, you know, I've been wondering, like, you know, if we can look at the prime years of quarterbacks, we'll say like 28 to age 36. And in that span, they didn't win any Super Bowls. I mean, they won them pre and then post that when Brady is in, you know, this ridiculous span of his career where most guys are washed up and done. So maybe that's why, you know, maybe if he had spent a little bit more, hung on to some of these players, they would have won one in 2012 or 13, or, you know, they actually win that game against the Giants in 2011.
Just quickly, Mike, the manipulation of the truth has been out there for a long time. It is mythical. Remember the comment that Kraft had years ago about how, well, we got a bunch of guys coming up in the next couple of years, and it was Chandler Jones, Hightower, Malcolm Butler, Jamie Collins. We can't pay them all.
They let them all go.
They kept one. They kept one of them. Right. They kept one. That comment at that time to suggest that, well, you know, we got to let some guys go because look at the guys that are coming up, as if to say we got to take care of these guys. Three of them left. Three of the four left. They kept one.
Oh, it's such a myth that this is why they won championships. So after Tom Brady did his restructure, they did start winning championships again. But it's not like they didn't lose players. They were still losing players, but they won. And so I think that that's an easy thing for someone to say that doesn't look at it closely, or the owners to say, because they want to maintain this phony baloney salary cap thing, to say, well, look, Tom Brady left money on the table and we won three more championships. But you didn't win three more championships because of what you spent or how you didn't spend. That had nothing to do with it, I think. I think it had nothing to do with it. You won those last three championships because, and it's hard to believe now, but you actually drafted well for a time. You actually sort of rebuilt this roster with some good draft picks. Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, Trey Flowers, James White, Shane Vereen, Shaq Mate. You know, you drafted a bunch of guys there that actually panned out and were good championship caliber players. That happened. I think you augmented that with a couple of shrewd free agent trades and signings. Brandon LaFell, Ninkovich, Revis, Browner, Van Noy, guys like that. LeGarrette Blount was even useful for a time. You made some good moves there. The most important thing, I think, while you won your last three championships, Tom Brady got his second win.
Total.
I was going to say, yeah. You had the quarterback.
Well, he got his second win. Tom Brady in 2014. Look at it. Look at how he started to perform after they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. He got his second win. He got motivated. And he just got... He just went on this run that he's still on, unbelievably. And that's why you won. You didn't win your last three championships because you paid Brady less. It's a myth. It's a lie. Sorry.
Murray.
No argument here.
Yeah, I always thought that has been way overplayed. I think there are so many myths that come with the Patriots, and I'm not dumping on what they've accomplished, but the idea of, quote-unquote, the Patriot way, and the way they manage the salary cap, and the way they do their payroll, and it's a lot of it is such bull crap, it's unbelievable.
Oh my God, this one is, oh, you know, from the day we started the show, I've had a hair across my ass about this topic, about this thing that the NFL owners are allowed to get away with, the salary cap thing. Because I've just seen it. I mean, folks, you see it every day. How many times did you hear here going into this offseason that such and such team couldn't trade their quarterback because the cap hit, the dead cap hit? You can't move Carson Wentz, the dead cap hit. You can't move Jared Goff, the dead cap hit. And they just do it because they can do it, because they can do whatever you want against the cap if you really want to do it. If you really want to know how I feel about it, Murray, I got a little bit of Alex Jones for you here. I mean, I actually think there is a under-the-table real money cap that these guys deal with, at least internally, if not collectively, in that league, that they don't promote, that no one knows about, but there's a whole other set of books and accounting that they all hold themselves to that is outside of this bullcrap cap.
Those are the clandestine books.
I'm telling you. I wonder if there's really something like that.
Collusion.
I mean, a good hint. I think there is. I mean, a good hint of it was in the last CBA.
I did. Go ahead.
Yeah, 10 years ago when they had an uncapped year. And so Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder said, okay, no cap, we'll spend. And they got fined. They got fined and they lost money in draft picks because they spent too much money in a year where there was no limit. I was like, so what are you punishing them for? And they all went along with it because I think there's something internal there that they all hold themselves to outside of the phony baloney. That's a real story. That's a podcast, Murray. We'll start a podcast series on the deep state NFL salary cap. but all these owners do it. I was reading Tom Curran at this time last year, last May, after Tom Brady had left, and we're all talking about what the hell they're going to do. And a jumping off point for Tom Curran then was what was going on with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. And Tom Curran quoted Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones's kid. Listen if this quote sounds familiar to you. Stephen Jones said, as you know, the salary cap makes this a zero-sum game for the owners. This is not something where Jerry and myself are trying to save money so the Cowboys can make more money for the Jones family. There are all sorts of analytics out there that show that if your quarterback takes up too big of a percentage of your salary cap, it decreases your chance to win. We're just trying to figure out the right fit. So it's almost the exact same thing Kraft said 6 years earlier. And it's like, oh, bull crap. Look at real money spent. The Cowboys are at the bottom too. Bottom of the league in real money spent. And the Jones are talking about, oh, you know, the analytics show if there's too much of a percentage of the cap with the quarterback, you can't win. Bull crap. Anyway, Curran wrote at the time, not only was Stephen Jones dead on, I disagree with Tommy, he said Robert Kraft articulated the same sentiment 7 years ago. And then he, you know, repeated that Kraft quote that I gave you to Peter King. Tom Curran writes, that worked out pretty well, didn't it? The Patriots played in 7 straight AFC championships, went to 4 Super Bowls, and won 3 Lombardis after Brady signed that deal. So there we go, Curran making the mistake, thinking that the Patriots not paying Brady allowed them to win.
Right, that it's a cause and effect.
Wrong. Why they won.
See, quarterback is the one position they can't control the salaries on. Because the value of the position is so great. Again, it's the most important position in sports. So this is how they have to try to argue it. And I don't doubt that there's some sort of wink, wink, nod, nod, although every team comes along every now and then that blows it out of the water a little bit. Maybe the Chiefs are the most recent. I just think the idea that if someone were to say to you right now, you can have Patrick Mahomes, but you got to take his contract as is, would you take him? Why would you say no to that?
Of course you would, but some of these owners wouldn't.
Apparently the Joneses and the Crafts wouldn't.
Which blows me away, and I find that to be unconscionable.
And
who are you serving here?
And I sort of wonder about Brady if he felt used at the end. Like
How could he not, Mike?
I did leave this money on the table, and yet all these players left. I mean, we won, so like great, but it's not like you were able to keep players. You know, because the whole thing is, I leave money on the table, you keep players. We lost players at the normal rate any good team would lose players. There was no difference here. We weren't able to keep anybody more than anyone else was. So what was I keep putting money on the table for? And maybe it was Bill Belichick. Maybe it was for Bill Belichick's salary, and that was part of the resentment. But, you know, this is what part of the reason I miss Kraft is because he used to answer these questions. So when Wes Welker left because of money after Brady had restructured his contract, there are reports that Tom Brady was put off. And Tom Brady was upset by this. I left money on the table to keep Wes Welker, and we let him go. Why? Kraft was asked about it. Here's how that exchange went.
Robert, have you spoken or felt at all compelled to speak with Tom Brady about what went down and how this happened that he would...
Well, I don't answer to Tom Brady. I mean, no, he's an important member of the team, and we've chatted. He did what he did to put us in the best position to be able to build a team around him and win games. And we've chatted about it. But he has never... I mean, it's been reported...
That's why
that
I asked the question.
It's been reported that he or people close to him have made certain comments. None of that is true. I've spoken with him directly, so... Whomever is creating that impression is mistaken.
Is he upset?
No. I mean, we're all upset that he's not with us, but we're building a team. But he never put a demand or expected anything when he did what he did. He never put quid pro quos. And to be honest, we wouldn't have accepted them had he done that. He did what he thought was in, you know, and what he did was tremendous. And, you know, it's given our team a real competitive advantage, I think, to be in a position to win. And now it's how well our personnel people make the decisions.
Okay, so again, that's an example of why I miss Robert. I wish he'd... I don't think he did poorly for himself there. I don't answer to Tom Brady.
No, I would say he's pretty forthright, in fact.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, look, this is the beauty of being an owner, though. You don't have to answer to anybody. So someone wants to criticize you, they can criticize you, but at the end of the day, you look at him and go, be careful because I write your check.
But anyway, Tom Brady leaves money on the table. Now his favorite receiver's up for a contract and they won't pay him. It's like, why did I leave money on the table? And, you know, the owner's asking, I don't answer to him. You know, Tom did what he did and it was the right thing to, you know, whatever. We can talk about it. But, you know, if I'm Tom Brady now, and this is really a conversation for last year, I'm like, why'd I leave all that money back? And I think Tom Brady just proved you don't have to go cheap at the quarterback to win. I mean, I just think that's silly, and I don't think that's why they won. But I am worried, like the rest of you, that they've talked themselves into believing that's why they won, and that's how they're going to try and keep doing it. It happened again with Revis a couple years later. He walks out the door, and everyone says, well, why did Brady leave money on the table if you're not going to sign Revis? You'll hear Kraft's answer to that and your calls, I promise, right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Going every day.
Keeps her whack.
Keeps their whack.
Toucher and Rich, mornings at 6. But now, more Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To have a quarterback who, Tom, is a contract probably half his market value for what he's accomplished, and that money, I'm sure, that he agreed to that contract to keep the team as competitive as possible, is it almost not in keeping with that, that you have a guy who might be the best corner in the league, and then Bill decides he doesn't want to go the extra mile to try to keep him, even though the quarterback is at a very manageable.
Well, let me just say this. Bill wanted him.
Right.
But, like, I mean, you probably don't have to work on a budget. But when you get a budget, there's certain things you can't do. And we have a budget. And, you know, in the end, we'll judge it by what the results are, what happens in wins and losses at the end of the year. And also, it takes two sides. You know, I think each side in the end did what was right for them.
Again, I miss Robert. I do. It's a fine answer. That's maybe one of my favorite answers he's ever given. He didn't say salary cap. He said budget. Yes. And I'm not asking you to lose money. I understand you have a profit margin. So, fine. Let's just call it like it is. Right? You could have kept Revis if you wanted. But you're spending X on Belichick. You're spending Y on the team. You're spending, you know, Z on Brady. And so add it all up and it would have hurt your business. Fine. I can accept it. I'm an adult on that. You know, blame the salary cap. But, you know, people forget. Like, Brady left money on the table and then all these guys walked out the door. And rightfully, we sat there and said, well, I thought Brady left money on the table so he could keep Wes Welker. And the whole idea about Brady making less is so you keep Darrell Revis. And it turns out that wasn't the case. So I'm sure Brady got to the end and said, you know, enough of this because I'm leaving money on the table and we're still letting players walk out the door. So, you know, we're winning, great, but I don't think that's why we're winning because all the good players are still leaving. So what? Give me what I'm worth and we'll just chug along and maybe Bill has to take a little less or Robert, you have to make a little less and we'll still keep winning and just give me the contract. And they wouldn't do it. And the question now going forward is, will they do it? Will they do it for the next guy? Did they change their mind on it after this year?
I mean, this is the part that concerns me. Because, again, now we're talking about the quarterback. Now we're not talking about a corner or a linebacker. And I'm not telling you those positions aren't important. They are. But nothing compares to quarterback. We all know that. So now they're a quarterback. And, again, not only did they, you know, are we talking about a quarterback, Brady was the greatest there ever was, is. He could cover it up. He could make up for it. The next guy, especially if you skimp, is not going to be able to make up for it the way Brady did.
Okay, your phone's John in Dorchester. Go, John.
How's it going, guys? First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call. So we're talking about the Patriots way, and we're talking about the formula. It's the same thing. They're showing us the formula. They've been showing us the formula. I also think, you know, we're talking about good guy, bad guy. They're playing the good guy, bad guy piece very well. This is the Kraft team. This is the Kraft business. The Kraft business is what's important here. If Kraft wanted Brady here, he'd be here.
Okay, I'm going to stop you with that. So, I think that's true, John. And thanks for the call, John. I think that's true. I think, you know, as Kraft has said in so many words, Kraft was the point man on Brady's contract. So they didn't give him the last contract, and so – and Kraft's right in the middle of it. And whether that was the right or wrong, you know, the right or the wrong move, I think Kraft deserves his place at the table when we're talking about that.
Yeah, and I think the frustration, and it was rightful at the time, you know, on behalf of the Krafts and especially Belichick, is like they looked at Brady and were like, well, you want more? We traded away Garoppolo. That seemed to be the sticking point, and now you want more, and he did. And look how it worked out. But I can understand their frustration at the time there.
Okay, so I'm going to try to not make this about Jimmy G in particular as much as I am about the backup quarterback.
They had the guy.
Okay, no, but that aside, if you're going to operate with this idea of we're not going to give more than X percent to the quarterback, then you draft a guy who obviously will play for less. Why do you get rid of him? How does that jibe with your financial philosophy? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, the give was, that was the appeasement of Brady, was trading away Garoppolo because he felt threatened.
I know, but again, it's as I said, Murray, I said this at the time and I'll always say it.
They had the guy?
No, they have this philosophy that they employ at every position on the field. Then they got to the most important position on the roster and they didn't do it.
No, I know. They botched it as bad as you can.
I mean, when you look at it that way, you say, well, wait a minute. You say this all the time. It's this. It's about the percentage. Now you've got a lower, cheaper option that you hit on in the draft and you gave it away.
Tony, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, on this stuff you're talking about, it takes two to tango, okay? So it takes the quarterback or the player and the manager. But I'll tell you what I'm surprised at, that you haven't mentioned about the Super Bowl. Belichick should have got the MVP. Three of his players he let go were big factors in the game. They scored three touchdowns. They completed over 50% of the completions went to two
ex-Patriots. Well, so, Tony, this makes you feel good about Belichick?
No, it doesn't make me feel good about Belichick at all. I think he's not what you people think he is. He got lucky by drafting a sixth rounder that became the GOAT of all sports, let alone football. And as much as he tried to destroy it, Brady wouldn't let him.
Okay, Tony, we're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly what he's made of. Last year was chapter one, not good. He's coming from behind. But there's still time to figure out exactly what Bill is and what he's capable of, okay? So we'll see exactly what he is and just how much of it was luck and how much of it was him. He definitely didn't want Brady and Gronkowski. Yeah, you know, Antonio Brown, I don't even know if he would have kept after this year, but Antonio Brown did himself in. That wasn't Belichick. But Belichick definitely was done with Brady and Gronkowski not last year, about 2-3 years ago. He was done with those guys. And so that's on him. That's definitely on him. Let's see what he can do next. Continue with your thoughts. First, an update here from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Belger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, let's take just a little Patriot breather. We've given you just about, 9.5 straight hours of it since we returned on Monday following the Super Bowl. I just want to hit on one thing because this came across over the weekend, and I just want Maz's input on it. And that is Major League Baseball, in conjunction with Rawlings, who they now own, okay, so their manufacturer who makes baseballs, have said that they are going to alter the construction and the makeup of the baseballs to reduce home runs in Major League. They're going to deaden the ball a little bit. After years of, it feels like, Maz, them juicing the ball a little bit, they're going to dial it. They're going to dial it back on the baseball. How do you feel about that?
So dare I say that they are taking the air out of the ball a little bit? Is that what they're doing? That's what they're doing, taking the air out? So look, based on the story I saw, the change they're making in the baseball, and this originated with the Associated Press, on a 375-foot fly ball, the ball will travel 1 or 2 feet shorter. Okay, first of all, if it's 1 or 2 feet shorter, go F yourself. Why do it at all?
Well, let me tell you. because they've of course run the numbers, because they can put every batted ball into a supercomputer and come up with every number that would just absolutely make your butt hair spin. Okay, so here we go.
Okay, but we're talking about...
But listen, here are the numbers. Listen. They compute that every 3 feet of distance leads to 10% more home runs,
okay,
or fewer home runs. So if this is going to travel a foot and a half less, you're talking 5% fewer home runs.
Okay, and I'm telling you that if that's what they're telling us, that it's really probably something closer to 5 feet or even 10. That's what I think. Or maybe that's what the ultimate goal is, and they're not there yet. I just don't think they're going to tell us what it is right out of the chute. Now, look, last year pitchers were complaining that the balls were different, that the seams were lower, the balls were carrying farther. As a result, breaking stuff wasn't as crisp as it used to be, which, by the way, would be a nice way to combat spin rate, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you were going to combat spin rate, what would you say? Well, let's lower the seams. Let's make it harder to spin the ball, so therefore we get more offense out of it. So, look, in theory, I like the idea. Let's get home runs out of the game. Let's get some of the home runs out of the game. And let's have power hitters hit home runs so that everyone else has to play a different way and we get back to something closer to what baseball used to be. But as usual, baseball's way behind it. Way behind it. It's the problem is now rampant before they're trying to take, based on their numbers now, 1 or 2 feet off a 375-foot fly ball. Meanwhile, again, the game has been completely bastardized and is something totally different. So I would say, am I happy about it? Yes. Yeah. But it should have happened 5 years ago.
Yeah, so we can still be annoyed because they're not doing enough and they've got so much to address. It is a baby step in the right direction. We have to admit that, right?
Agreed, yes.
And I think, you know, just putting two and two together, that it's Theo Epstein's first move. And I haven't heard his name attached to it or anyone mention that. I haven't read much on it. But I just, you know, Theo just got this job about addressing the issues in the game. And a month later, here we go, the baseball, for the first time in my lifetime, is being announced as being deadened. So you tell me. That sounds like cause and effect to me, Murray.
Well, yeah, I mean, shouldn't this be like a scandal? Is this not a scandal because no one really cares about baseball as much anymore? Because MLB said the ball, no, we didn't juice the ball. But by doing this, they've basically come out and admitted, without actually saying it, yeah, we screw with the ball for more offense.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, no question. I think you're right, Murray. I think people don't care as much as they used to. And also, they did acknowledge, though, that the ball was carrying further. So it's not like they hid that part of it. If you remember when that came out, they said, yes, it's true, there's less drag on the ball. That's how they described it anyway.
They also bought the manufacturer.
Right.
That should be a little bit of a tip-off.
Right.
That, you know, it's not like they can blame, well, Rawlings sent us these balls. We got nothing to do with it. We don't know. No. You are Rawlings now. So it's really easy.
Totally.
So I'm going to walk in there and say, let's dial it up or let's dial it back.
So the other thing I wonder, Mike, with the baseballs is this something they can do without getting the players involved? Right. So, for example, the shift, the rules of the game. And I know the commissioner has unilateral power to do these if he follows a certain procedure, introduces it a year in advance, et cetera, et cetera. But I wonder if on the ball, the players have no say. So is this why they're taking this tact, releasing it, letting it out there first? Because some of the players were bitching about it, too. But I wonder, maybe it was just the easiest, most obvious thing to them because the players can't be obstructionists on it.
So all I'm saying is I think it's a positive development. And in case you haven't been listening to the show, there's a huge issue in the game with the direction of it and how it's all become the 3-2 outcomes of home runs, walks, and strikeouts. And that's all you're sort of watching now is pitch and catch between the pitcher and the catcher. And every now and then the ball goes out of the park and there's really not much else going on. And this absolutely impacts pace of play, which is the biggest issue in the game, pace of play. And it impacts pace of play, the 3-2 outcomes do, because to get a strikeout, you've got to get to 3 strikes. There's not, you know, if you're just putting the ball in play on the first pitch, the game tends to go a little bit quicker. But because everyone's working deeper in the count and everyone is looking for the perfect pitch to drive out of the ballpark, there's more pitches being thrown, more time between pitches. And oh, by the way, it all sort of blends together to give you the game that we've gotten where every hitter is going up there looking to launch it out of the park and doesn't care if he strikes out. So he's either looking at pitches or swinging out of his ass, So they're either a walk or a home run, and the pitchers know that they're trying to defend that. So the only way to defend that, velocity is key. So the longer they hold the ball, the more velocity they get on the ball between pitches. And so they're just looking for swings and misses and hucking the ball at 98 miles an hour. And it's all lent and it's all piece to what baseball has become. So, you know, just incrementally, Maz, if they can reduce some of the home runs, maybe some of the hitters go up there and say, you know what? I can't put the ball out. I'm going to try and just drive the ball for a single or put it in the gap. And so now the batter's looking for a little more contact versus a home run. And now the pitcher looks at that and says, well, I can pitch to contact because I can get this guy to ground out or whatever and just slowly start to get the game back. That's what I think, you know, they're trying to do here.
I mean, I hope so. Look, again, it's a step in the right direction. There's no two ways about it. The game's home run happy. It's softball. It's not baseball anymore. So if they're trying to eliminate some of the home runs, and look, the 375-foot mark, you say, why would you pick a number like that? Because that's where the Judy hitter can hit the ball. So it's right on that line. And I get everything you're saying about the analytics, that the middle infielder, take your pick, you know, some light-hitting second baseman somewhere. I was going to say Pedroia, but he doesn't qualify. But that guy is going to hit 5 fewer, 10 fewer home runs than he might have hit in the past, whatever the percentage is, and maybe that'll alter the way he plays the game. I get the logic. I just think, you know, again, they're too late. Am I happy about it? Yes. But God, think of what it took to get here. Like, well, they bastardized the sport.
And they've also found out that the home runs aren't helping them sell the game. You know, that's it hasn't increased business. In fact, baseball's never been less relevant in my lifetime, and they've never hit more home runs as a sport.
Correct.
Not that you have the 70 home run guy, but the actual raw numbers of home runs, they're setting records every year. Last year was another record, or the year before, the last full season was another record.
Right.
It's like it's not helping. It's not bringing people to the game. It's not improving the game. So I think this is Theo starting to look at the game and have a little bit of an impact in the game. It's a real tiny baby step. We won't see it. It's just something that incrementally they just start to dial it back in a certain direction, and hopefully the game comes back in time. So there's a thought on that. You can mix that in with your Patriots calls, and we'll get back to you in a long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
How much input should the quarterback have in organizational moves? Veteran quarterback.
Yeah, I think it depends on who it is. You know, I think.
Well, how about you? How much do you have any say in what Seattle does offensively with free agents or draft picks?
I think that it's you know, I think that ultimately, for me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved, because at the end of the day, it's your legacy, it's your team's legacy, it's, you know, it's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys you got to trust, you know. And you think about, you know, one of the reasons why Tom went to Tampa was because he felt like he could trust those guys and Bruce was going to give him an opportunity. I think for, you know, every situation, you have to be able to go into a situation. You know, you think about guys like LeBron, he was able to, you know, be around great players that you can trust.
So this is what we're talking about. I think that cut says a lot there, Maz. These guys, or at least Russell Wilson, but I think more NFL quarterbacks are thinking about this, you know, like they're LeBron. Like, I get to pick where I go, and I want to pick my teammates. I mean, this is what Brady just did.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, the quarterback wants to get paid, too. So that feels like 3 strikes against the Patriots, where they don't want a quarterback making a certain amount against the salary cap, and they don't want the quarterback to play GM. Even though at the end here, I think they did let Brady make some calls. I think Brady was responsible for Antonio Brown and Mohamed Sanu, you know. So I think they gave in on that at the end. But you know, ideally, you know, as Robert Kraft said, I don't answer to Tom Brady. I don't think they want the, you know, any player, never mind a quarter, even the quarterback, dictating the personnel. But Tampa had no problem with it. Tampa had no problem paying Tom Brady, bringing him in, and giving him the players that he wanted. And is that the way it's going to be now? Is that going to be business as usual now in the NFL?
Oh, it feels that way to me after hearing that quote. I mean, if it just feels like a guy of that level, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback like Russell Wilson or Brady can say, look, you know, I can put you over a barrel and try to force a trade or sit out like Deshaun Watson's going to do, or I'm going to have more input. You know, you're going to talk to me before free agency starts. I might want to even be there, you know, come draft day. But, you know, otherwise, yeah, I'm going to put you over a barrel and I'm going to force a trade and be a giant pain in the ass. And they have the power to do that because, as Brady just proved, without the quarterback, you kind of got nothing.
Well, see, so that's the thing, really, is that they do have the power to do it. Well, what's happening is that these guys are starting to realize that they're the show. And so they're the most critical piece of the whole operation. So I understand in some ways the unwillingness to go too far there, like, and which is, you know, in part, I think what the Patriots are saying, like, in part, let me emphasize that. So you don't ever want to get so out of whack that one guy is too much power and completely throws the whole thing upside down. So I get that. But I also think when you're desperate for talent, you gotta sacrifice some. And they are desperate right now.
We continue with your thoughts. Alan Everett. Hi, Al.
How are you guys?
We're good, buddy. What do you got?
So what do we got here? Jim Murray. You there, Jim Murray?
Yes, hello.
All right. The last time I called you guys, Jim, was right before the season started. And I told you guys that Tom Brady was about to expose Coach Coattails for the fraud that he is. And Tony Mash, you know what you did, Tony? You hung up with me and you called me a moron. Now, I don't need an apology. I'm not looking for a thick skin, buddy.
No, that's good, because you're not getting one.
I'm going to make this up to me, because I've been right all these years. Look, come on down to the financial district at lunchtime, and you can be a celebrity sub maker for the day, Tony. I think it's the least you can do. Michael, what do you think?
Do I get to eat one?
It's the least thing you do for me. After laughing at me, calling me a moron, and now you're regurgitating everything I've been saying for 15 years, the most overrated sports person of all time is Bill Belichick. And give me credit where credit's due, guys.
Well, Al, those of you on your side of the argument having a good time right now, and you should. You deserve it. Congratulations. And you know what, Al? After 25 years of calling sports radio, I think you finally got a decent phone.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
The first time I was able to understand you.
His cell phone used to blow.
Oh, my God. 25 years?
It was worse than Burt Breer's.
25 years of bad phone. That guy is. But the anti-Belichick crew, you should be reveling in it. You've been telling us for years it's about the quarterback, it's not about Bill, it's not about Bill, it's not about Bill. And Bill's first year without Brady, he falls on his face and Brady wins a Super Bowl. What else? Al is supposed to be shaking his ass in our face. He deserves it, and anyone on that side deserves it. And that's just the way it goes. Here's Dave in Weymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
Felgo, what you're saying today is something I've been arguing with the In Bill We Trust people for years now. They get excited that, you know, Belichick cuts a guy, and they say, oh, look at all the money we saved. And I would be saying, yeah, but that only matters if you then go and spend that money. And they love the fact that the Patriots have spent the least amount of money the last 5 years. But what good is it when you don't have Brady?
I never got why fans rooted on the Patriots not spending money.
I know.
Like, it just doesn't compute to me. Like, I don't get it. Why does that excite you that they could get someone for a good deal? Like, what do you care?
It was just more ammunition for those that believed see, we're smarter than you. They're smarter than you. And it's just one of those things, even though it was a fallacy.
Oh, it's such a myth that that's why they won. Oh, God. They've won for a lot of reasons. It's not because Tom Brady left money on the table. And I think Brady at the end realized it. Tom Brady left money on the table, starting with that last big extension in 2012. When Robert Kraft said, again, it was an elegant solution, and when Robert Kraft said, if we were going to have to pay him, meaning Brady, elite quarterback money and have elite quarterback cap numbers, I just didn't think we'd be able to build a team. He said that, and that's the way the Patriots approached it in 2012, and then in the intervening years, they let Wes Welker, Darrell Revis, Chandler Jones, just go down the line. They let all their a lot of expensive players walk out the door. Jamie Collins, twice. Logan Ryan, Vince Wilfork, he left at the end over money. Pat Chung, Darrell Revis, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Brandon Cooks, Akeem Hicks, Trey Flowers, Kyle Van Noy, on down the line. When a player got too expensive, when they felt, and this is how they look at it. If a player asks for more money than they feel he's worth, he's gone. Whether they have cap room or not, they look at it in a vacuum on an individual basis. Are you worth the money you're about to get? And if you're not, you're gone. And if you are, we'll figure out how to keep you against the cap. We'll restructure someone else. And that's how it's always been, whether Tom Brady made 20 or 25 or 14 million. That's the deal. And the Patriots handled themselves like a lot of teams. And the Patriots, like a lot of teams, lost a lot of players over the years, even after Tom Brady gave back the money. So I think Tom Brady got to the end and said, why am I giving back the money again? Because the players keep walking out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I giving back the money for? So you can pay Bill? Well, that ain't, no, you know, enough of that. But, you know, that's history, pal. Going forward, if you're someone dreaming about Russell Wilson now or Aaron Rodgers, or you were dreaming about Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson or anyone like this, the Patriots have said they don't want a quarterback taking up a certain percentage of the salary cap.
And I tell you, that part of it, it blows me away. Like, if I were a hardcore fan, I'd be so pissed off at that. You have the second most valuable franchise in the league. Brady elevated it over the period of time that he was here by who knows how many fold. I couldn't even begin to do the math by going that far back. And all of a sudden you get to this stage now and say, well, no, we want a quarterback, but we just don't want to commit resources to it. What?
So if they're going to stick to their long-held philosophy of we don't want a quarterback taking up 18% of the salary cap, forget about all these big names you dream about. Just wipe them right out. It's not going to happen. Or is it possible that this past year and these past couple of weeks have been so embarrassing and so eye-opening to the Patriots that they're going to change their philosophy? If they watch pictures in the video today coming out of Tampa of Rob Gronkowski again with the grinding, nonsensical, you know, Super Bowl celebration dance and Tom Brady getting off the boat legless. You just sent me that video, Murray?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, someone should have told Tom, be careful of boats. Boats will really get you. You want to get hammered, go out on a boat. You don't even know what's happening. But anyway, if they look at those videos down there of that Aqua Super Spreader down in Tampa, that celebration, and that leads them to believe, you know what, maybe we need to change our philosophy of quarterback. You know, that's your only hope. Otherwise, they're going low. They're going cheap at quarterback because that's what they believe in. So that's the main topic today. We'll continue with that. I do want to just give you a second or two on the Celtics. We'll do that after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.